Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Hinton this morning with prayer, and Jesus is the bomb in Gilead. Bomb in Gilead by Karen Clark Shear this morning, and we thank God for another Friday morning. Thank him for waking us up, closing our right minds. We have the use and activities of our limbs, life, health, and strength. And we're grateful unto him, closed in our right minds. We woke up thinking right. We woke up knowing who we were, where we were. We woke up knowing our name. We woke up knowing our address, the house that we are in, or wherever we at, we know where we are. Yeah, God is faithful. That's a great thing right there. That is a great thing right there. Many people don't know who they are, where they are. They don't know what's going on. Some people don't know who the president is. They don't know who their family members are. I'm telling you. So when God wakes you up and you closed in your right mind, we should immediately tell him thank you. We should go to bed telling him thank you. He brought us through the day. Yeah. Without him, we can do nothing. So he kept us alive. He kept us active. We may not be as active as we want to be, but we active enough to get through a day. Hallelujah. To get through the night. Because he watched over us as we slumbered and we slept. Yeah. Not only that, during the day, he has caused good things to come our way. Not all bad things come during the day. God has blessed us where good things come through for us. Oh, yeah. We have food to eat, clothes to wear, shoes to wear, huh? Some of us have plenty of things. TVs to watch, music to listen to, videos to see, computers, laptops, phones. God has been good to us. Somebody don't have it because somebody don't have a house to put a TV in. Somebody don't have a phone that they can just constantly be on. Somebody have a phone that's limited. Some of us, God has given us unlimited access. The small things today. Some people only have a couple of pair of shoes. Some of us have 10, 15, 20 pair, more than that. We can change outfits 7 days a week and never wear the same thing. God has been good to us. If we wear the same thing, it's by choice. Some of us are not alone. God blessed us with children. Some people have a husband or a wife or a sister, a mom, a dad, somebody. God has blessed us. And we should want to bless him back. Some of us were so sick at one point, we didn't know which way to turn in a way. God stepped in and healed our body. Somebody said, well, he didn't heal me of everything. He healed you of enough that you could get through the day. Yeah, we want to tell him thank you for everything. Every little thing, we want to tell God thank you. Hallelujah. Woke us up. And you know what? Another good part about it, and I'm doing the bounce right now. Another good part about it is this. We're alive spiritually. We're not spiritually dead. Could you imagine being spiritually dead? You don't know God. You don't believe in God. You're going through the day doing your own stuff. But because you know God, because you allowed him to save you, you went to him and accepted his son. And you believe what his word says. And you talk to God. You pray. Guess what now? Now, you have a good day. Bad things come many times during a day. But it's the day that God had made. And we can yet rejoice and be glad in it. Why? All things must work together for our good. God is going to take care of it. Why? He never leave us. He never forsake us. He will be with us until the end. The only problem we have is not believing and not trusting God. Now, we can't trust him. We can't believe him. We can't trust him. We can't trust him. We can't believe him. We got the problem. We're in the way. But if we can believe God and trust him and believe him, keep walking in him, God come in and take care of things for us. His word said we're victorious. I love going over these great and precious promises. His word says we're the head and not the tail. Fear not. That's what his word said. Fear not. His word also says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Another promise that we have, we can cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. See, we have the problem when we don't believe God and trust him. When we don't trust his word and believe it, we got big problems because we own our own. And many problems come our way. We can't do nothing with this stuff. Nothing I can do with it. But if I put it on the altar, believing and trusting God and walk away, and many days quoting what his word said concerning it. His word said all things must work together for the good of them that love him and call the called according to his purpose. Some of us he chose. He didn't just call you. Many of us, we're doing what he said to do. We love unconditional. Many times it appears we're giving up the right for the wrong. Many days we put ourselves before other people. I mean, we put other people before ourselves. We're doing all we can to please God. He's coming in to fix everything if we can believe and trust him. Trust and believe him. Yeah. Woo-wee. Listen, I know you many couldn't imagine what it is to have 30 years to life in prison. I know you can. And you have served 15 of those 30 years to life. And you don't know, after you serve the 30 years, you don't know if they're going to release you or you're going to continue on until your life ends. I know you probably couldn't imagine this. But there are those that are living in situations in prison like this. Some people have 20 years without a possible parole until they've done 10 years. Are you listening? I know you couldn't imagine that. But having that like that, many people would say, oh, my goodness, especially family members. Oh, my goodness. Not only that, but you robbed somebody. That's how you got your 20 with no possible parole until 10. You killed somebody. That's how you got your 30 to life. But God allowed you to go to prison. He want to talk to you because when you was free, you was running, ripping, doing wrong, robbing, stealing, killing, anything. You were big enough, adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, anything you were big enough to do. So before you entered your mother's womb, God called you to something. He didn't put you in prison. He allowed you to go because of your activity, because of the things you were doing. So he allowed you to go to prison. While you're there, you never consider God. Oh, you'll go to church sometime over there when they got special guests or whatever. But you never really consider God unless you're asking him to set you free. Get me out of this, Lord. I want to go home. You never considered God allowed you there to talk to you so that you can build a relationship with him so that you will know he's real and he's able to do more than set you free. More than set you free. Because coming back to the world, basically somewhat of the same way you went to prison, it makes no sense. You won't do no better. You'll be back in there in a matter of days. But if while you're there, you get a, build a relationship with God and you understand, now that I'm here, what is it you would have me to do here, Lord? because many won't do that in prison. They won't seek God to see, you allowed me to come here. What is it, Lord? I know I stole, I cheated, but God, I believe you can change me. I believe you can turn me around. And I'm building a relationship with you. What is it you want me to do? God will use you right there in the prison system. And once he's done with you, he'll turn you loose. He'll open the door. He'll turn your key. And once you come back out, you don't want to be the same. You don't want to do the same things. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So what is it we need for God to do for us? We need him to help us. We need him to give us a change of heart and mind to think right concerning him. Not concerning us and our stuff and things, and but concerning him. Because when your ways please him, it's nothing God will not do for you. Hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries. And I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is March the 19th. 2021, 3 months and 19 days into this new year. Matter of fact, today is Shantae's birthday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, Miss 44 this year, 44. And so we thank God for all of this. We thank him. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is what we're saying to him every day. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, our mouth, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our strength and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank him for the word. And we say amen to the word. We agree that this is what we want to do unto God daily. Listen, I tried to take the garbage out yesterday so I wouldn't have to take it out this morning. And we had a little bit of a hurricane situation, windy, raining, lightning, all kind of stuff. I couldn't set it out because stuff was blowing down the road. And I didn't want the garbage to flip over and blow down the road too. So I left it out, you know, in the garage. But I'm going out right now to do that, and while I'm going, we're going to take a listen to this one, and I will be right back. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
With our arms open wide.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Ingrid. Bear with me 1 second here, and I'm going to get you right in. Listen, how many know God is an on-time God? Somebody can say yes, he is, if you want to this morning. Look, I ran out there so quick, got it done, had several other things to get done right quick. God blessed me to get all of that done. And then I had to start some breathing because it was like, whoo, 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 and I know my heart rate was gone, which is a good thing. And I'm blessed. That's all I can tell you this morning, and I'm grateful unto him. Because if we'll depend on him for everything, if we'll believe and trust him for every little thing, God will move on your behalf so quick you won't believe it. You'll be like, you'll be out of words right quick because he has moved so quick. Listen today, and believe this. If you believe nothing else, believe this today. The earth, you know what the earth is? The fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This is what God made. This is what he owns. This is what he's in charge of. We are in the earth. And anything we need, we can go to him to get it. If you need peace, he'll give it. If you need joy and happiness, he'll give it. If you're tired of a situation, ask God to help you to get over it. Lord, bring me out of this. And bring me out in a way where you're pleased and I'm happy. He knows how to do all of this. We have not because we ask not. Many times we have not because we don't believe. We're leaning to our own understanding. We've been wise in our own eyes. We are not acknowledging him in the way of this thing that's happening. So he can't direct the path. We stuck right where we are. Every day we still going over this, going through this. The situation itself may not change overnight, but God will give you what you need to get through the situation with joy, peace, and happiness. Do you hear me? The results of what you're wanting from the situation may not come like that. But the joy, the peace, the happiness, and how to go on through when I keep looking back at it because you put it on the altar, walk away. Keep praying that you do what's upright before God. And Lord, I'm not just doing this because I want you to fix this situation. I want you to give me what I want, but I'm doing this because it's right to do right. I want to please you, not to get what I want. I want to please you because I love you. I want to please you because you deserve everything that I can give you. Hallelujah. And it's all right this morning in Jesus' name. Listen, today we're going to take a listen to Pastor E. Dewey Smith. And it's a beautiful message. It is a beautiful, beautiful message. And his message is this. I'm in love with a stripper, and this boy teach this thing. He coming from John the Baptist, before he was beheaded, and telling why he was beheaded. And the daughter and the niece, oh my goodness, a Philip was a stripper. Oh, it's a beautiful message. That's all I can tell you. Where did Sister Ingrid go? Oh, my goodness, because I just opened up and there's some things I want to get done right quick. Then I want to bring her in. She's got a testimony for us today. So let me see if I can go back and find her and see if she can come on in. Okay, let's see. Are you ready? Let me ask her. Okay. I'm right, y'all. All right, we're cooking with gas. We're cooking with gas. All right. So maybe she'll call back in. There she goes. There she goes. Good morning, Sister Ingrid. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor Reverend. I am blessed. You know what happened? God is good. Because I got up and I was listening to your testimony with the builders, the pound cake, the brownie, the home, the tub, and I'm just smiling because I know that message is for me this morning. I say, I have to call them to share this testimony, what God did for me between Wednesday and Thursday.
Can you hear us, Sister Ingrid? We can't hear you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, we hear you now. We hear you.
Okay. Yes, so sorry about that. I was saying this morning I got up and I was listening to a sermon you shared. And you, while before the sermon came on, you were giving your testimony about the builders, about the thing that you need, and how God will come through. But my testimony this morning is about how God had the last say. For 2 months, I've been trying to sign a contract because I'm trying to sell a piece of property. But every time I cannot read a contract, but every time I ask some friends that does real estate, you know, they give me the runaround, and it's a whole story. So I finally got around to the contract. So when I signed the agreement, but I wasn't hearing from the realtor, and I found that strange. I said, before I signed the contract, he would call, he would text, and you know, I've got a sale for you. And so when I called him, I said, did you get my email? He said, yes, text you. I said, I like communication. So he sent me a lower bid. And I said, I told you, I'm not taking less than what I know I want for the property. So I said, you know, Father, there's a problem. I cannot deal with the gentleman because I already see he's not for me. I said to him, I think I want to come out of the contract. So he wrote me a quick email, and he said, you have 3 months in the contract remain, and I will say when it ends. I will tell you when I will free you from this contract. So when I read the email and he said, I have the last day, I started laughing. I said, who does he think he is to tell me he has the last day? He doesn't have the last say. And I said, Father, I signed a contract, and you going to make a way for him to release the contract. I called my dear friend, Sister Melius. I said, Sister Melius, let us pray about this situation. I stayed up, and then I had a phone call. I was up 2 a.m. talking to a young lady. And in the morning, I got up about like 6 o'clock. A friend of mine called me, and we were just talking, having a conversation. So while we have the conversation, I said, how are you doing? I said, you know, I don't want to talk about myself, but I want to talk about you. She said, Ingrid, you know, it's okay. And I told her the story. And I said, you know what? I was laughing because the gentleman said, he has the last day. And I said, in the name of Jesus, he's going to release my land because he doesn't have the last day. Pastor Barbara, within second, I saw his phone call. I saw his phone call. And he said, I got your offer for this price. I said, sir, first of all, I respect you, and I expect you to respect me. I am not taking less than what I told you. I've explained to you. He said, I want you to know who I am, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. You know what? I'm going to release you from this contract.
Yes,
I didn't say nothing. I stayed quiet. He spoke. And I said, sir, everything you just said to me, can you please send me an email with the exact word? I waited, and he sent me an email with his company name. We are releasing you from the contract. And I wrote back to him. I would everything that he said. And I said, if you need any further signature from me, email me. He just said, thank you. So I'm saying this morning, God has the last say. Allow God to fight your battles. I am free from the contract with no problem. So God be the glory. That's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Because many times, see, people are not thinking the way the believers think. They're not thinking the way that the saints of God think, Sister Ingrid. They're thinking their way. But we serve a risen Savior. We serve the God that have all power. We serve the God that the earth belongs to him, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So we hear your big talk. We hear you talking big. But we're not depending on us. We're not leaning on us. We're leaning and depending on this big God that we serve, who owned everything and made everything. Yes. And he's got the last word. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, so what you want, say whatever you want. I'm trusting God. I'm not even trusting myself. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So my
Hallelujah.
Encouragement for someone this morning, if you are tied to a contract and they are holding you hostage, God has the last say. Yes, your signature is there, but God is the one that's going to erase your signature. He's going to release those that hold you hostage on a contract, because it is very, very serious. Sometimes you don't realize what you're signing, and people take advantage, especially right now. People will take advantage. So this morning, give God that contract you have signed. Yes, you signed it, but God has the last say. Be still and allow God to fight your battle. That is my last word. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. And that's what we do in every situation. We allow God to fight our battle. I want to share this this morning. Yeah. Tell yourself this today. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Because I'm trusting God. I believe God. I don't believe myself. I don't trust what I see, what I feel, what I hear, what I think. But I trust God. So this is for every caller today. Every believer today, every listener today, every saint today, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Not only is it well with my soul, it's well with me, period. Every situation that I will encounter, it is already well. Because God has made it well. Because through it all, I've learned to depend on Jesus. I learned to trust in him. So it is well. Yeah, because things come in your way. Our trials come to make us strong. But when this stuff comes, we run to the author and finisher of our faith. We run to God. That's who we run to. Yeah, we don't have time to run to the newspaper, the television, the internet. I'm running to him who's able to fix it all, who's able to turn my evil into good. Well, we got to get real with God. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And let me share this morning. I love a good laugh. And yesterday was a busy day. Oh, it was busy. The phone, the one call after another, but y'all know I like all that kind of carrying on. I like all that kind of carrying on because that's my work. Yeah, that's what God called me to, so I like all of that. So, and last night, finally, Sister Stella and I get to talking. I'm talking to her about what the doctor told me and what I'm planning on doing, because y'all know he's sending me the Weight Watchers. And so she said, I have a Weight Watchers account, and I might do that with you. I said, yeah, let's do it together, sister, because, see, you need strength. You need somebody else help.
Amen.
You know all about it, and she was explaining things and telling me things I could do. And every now and then, I would sing this song, and she would laugh. And let me tell you something, that was one of the highlights, of my day, of my evening right there. Then I got to talk with Jerry, and Jerry just showing out on the phone, y'all. Ooh, ooh, Barbara, she what? Yeah, Barbara, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, Barbara. Barbara, I don't have to do this no more, Barbara. I don't have to do that no more. Barbara, he done come in and took care of everything. Oh, this, that. Barbara, I even forgot. I was walking through my house looking, and the Lord pulled my attention to everything. Everything is paid off. Everything is this, that, and the other. Because, see, this is what's happening with Jerry. She's talking of his wonderful works, and she's making known his deeds among the people. Those that will listen to her about the blessings of the Lord, she wants you to be excited, because what he did for me, he'll do for you. He's no respect.
Yes.
It's not I'm bragging on me. I'm bragging on Almighty God. I'm telling you what he's capable of doing. Oh, that thing blessed me. She said, Barbara, we was in elementary school. We was bad kids. I said, oh, Jerry going back. Oh, man. Don't remember that, Jerry. Don't remember that. And so, anyway, we laugh and we talk, and you know, God just have a mighty sweet way of doing things for us. But no matter what comes your way, we got to keep trusting God, keep looking to the hills. I know y'all heard about the thing with Kirk Franklin. When we represent God, we have to be careful. But let me tell you about that. There was always repentance and forgiveness. And see, we don't know what Kirk was going through. We don't know his prayer. You know, we don't know if he repented to God and got it right with God and then went back to his son and apologized to his son. You know, got it right with his son, then went to God and got it right with God. Well, son, forgive me. Now, if he don't forgive him, that's up to the son. But if he sincerely from his heart asked for forgiveness and then he went to God and got it right with God, we may as well forgive Kirk and let it go. Because I'm like this, the first one without sin, cast the first stone. But you know, religious church people would nail Kirk to the cross, upside down, and then put him sideways and nail him again. But love covers a multitude of sin. And I always say to myself, what if that was me? How would I want to be treated? Because never say never. Don't say what you won't do now. Because many times we say what we won't do and bragging and all of this, and the next thing you know, we're doing worse than the person did that we nailed to the cross. Love covers a multitude of sin. Kirk is a believer. We pray for Kirk. Yeah. We pray for preachers.
Praise his name.
We pray for the leaders. Because the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. And see, I know what it's like to have a disrespectful child. I've seen that, you know. I've had one who tried me, and I had to stay saved. And they tried me from long distance, tried me from a long distance place. Because if they were here in my face, I can't tell you that the police wouldn't have come and took me away. Because, see, they would never be expecting what I was going to do for them. So we pray and never say never. Because we don't know what Kirk going through.
Amen.
And see, when
you
place where Kirk is, a lot of stuff come your way. Kirk has been through some things, even in his childhood. And we don't know how much more healing Kirk needs himself. So we be careful putting our lips on him. And we pray for Kirk. A sincere heart, I need you praying for this man. God has blessed him. And blessed him to put some anointed songs out here. He had to go to God to get these different songs that's anointed out here. That wasn't just Kirk.
That's
so
mine.
Keep him in prayer and we don't judge.
Amen.
Keep him in prayer and let it go. Because that's none of my business anyway. That is none of our business.
That.
Kirk belonged to God. Kirk is God's business. We saw the error. He said this now. If we want to do something, the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. So we lift Kirk up to God. We plead the blood of Jesus over Kirk and his family. We pray for his son that God will bring him in a place where he can save him, sanctify him, and fill him with the Holy Ghost. We pray for his wife. We pray for his son's mother. A lot of stuff involved, but you know, them church folks, religious folks, they quick to put their mouth on you. Ooh, girl, did you hear what Kirk? Ooh, child, I know he was. No, I know you're not all of that, because here you come to gossip and put your lips on this name. When if
Thank
you look
you,
back, your children doing worse things than cussing. Oh, I'm just telling you today. They doing worse things than cussing. But you're going to put your lips on her. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Jesus.
Yeah, we pray for him because, see, he's a public figure. He's an entertainer, they call him.
Guess what? He's not an entertainer, and that is the biggest mistake people make. He's not an entertainer. He's a minister in music, and that is the difference. Now, I like what you're saying there. Like you said, he's human, but before I get off the phone, yesterday I saw a lady post. She does healthy cooking. She's a Christian, and she said, "I have to get off this group because they are cursing." So I said to her, "You go in the group, just post your food, your healthy food, and get out." Because I said, "You as a Christian will be able to help someone, maybe with your healthy cooking."
Well, Sister Ingrid, that's the problem right there. If she's a Christian, that means she's not a believer and she's not the saint of God. See, in order for you to follow God, you got to be a believer. And from being a believer, you have to be the woman of God. And this is what happens many times. These religious people, religious, self-righteous folks, they point their finger at you right now. How can you get folks saved? How can you lead people to and you can't stand nothing. You can't stand no cussing. You can't stand no smoke. You can't stand to see people take a drink. You can't stand to see a homosexual. You just can't stand to see and do and hear nothing. How are you going to work unto God? Listen, that's what's out there. He comes seeking that which is lost. These people are lost. You have to meet them right where they are. But see, these folks feel like they do gooders. I done stopped doing it. Everybody ought to stop. Nope. Uh-uh. Where I work and still go down there when God sent me. Cussing, marijuana smoking, liquor drinking, crack smoking, molly taking, all kind of stuff go on. But I have to be led to go. And maybe she's in the wrong place because she's moving by her own hand and not moving by the Spirit of God. Because where God send you, you're going to be able to do it all there. God is sending you and you're really going to be a blessing to people according to God. But if you're going according to yourself, it's a lot of things you won't be able to take. Yeah.
Praise his name.
You know what? I used to think before I came to the Lord that I couldn't stand disrespect for children. I said, I knew I couldn't stand them. I couldn't work in the school system because I'll crack their back. I'll twist their neck off, their head off their neck. But once I came to God and was filled with his Spirit, baptized in it, he showed me how to deal with disrespect for children. No hate, no hurt. No, I don't like them. Matter of fact, I started liking them. You know, they said, but things are so bad. How you deal with it? There's a way. God will give you the way. Brother Lewis said, the devil believed. Amen, Brother Lewis. He believed and trembled. He believed and trembled. So when we say we're followers of Christ, we got to be sure what we're talking about. It takes more than following him.
You
got to follow
him
and obey his teachings. Because there was many that followed him, but what they followed him for, the fish and the loaves, see, he could feed them. He healed them. But that which he was teaching, they weren't interested in the teaching. They wanted the healing, the fish and the loaves. The Pharisees and all these people come out. They didn't come out to hear the teachings of God so they could live it, so that they could apply it to their everyday life. They come out being nosy. They come out to see. And who is this? They came out asking John the Baptist, who are you? Are you Elias? Are you that prophet? Are you Jesus? What? They didn't come to be baptized unto repentance. So we pray for these people. We pray for the religious folks. We pray for them who can't stand to hear nothing, see nothing, sometimes nothing. We pray for them that they praying to God to get it right with him, that he can use them in the place where he would have them. Because God didn't send you everywhere. Some places people take themselves. And when bad things happen or their feelings get hurt, then they want to scream loud. But did God really send you over there? So if he sent you over there and you know he sent you and this thing is coming up which you can't hardly take, you go back to God with it. Strengthen me, Lord, because I want to obey you. I don't want to run from the work because of my flesh. I want to go and finish the task that you called me to. And today is already all right. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you have a blessed day, and I thank you, and I love you, and thank you again for all your prayers, your encouragement, supporting my Now Ministries. I love you, and have a blessed day.
Yes, you too, Sister Ingrid. God bless you today, and bless you this weekend, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Love you. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You hear what I say? Yeah. And I put out there E. Dewey Smith today and testify. Yeah, it's time to testify Friday, you know. And so she saw it and she wanted to come and give her testimony. And what a wonderful, wonderful testimony it is this morning. Yeah. But we got to be, you know, careful because so many religious folks and folks nailing you to the cross and all of that instead of taking you to God. Yeah. Because you know what? For me, that would be a burden. If I couldn't stand the cussing, if I couldn't stand the smoke, the this, the that, the homosexuals, the people with the short, tight clothes on, and if I couldn't stand that, then I need to go to God about the situation, who I am. Again, he comes seeking that which is lost. He wished that none should perish. And before I came to him, I was a pitiful creature. Yeah, before I came fully to God and let him save me, sanctify me, and fill me, and baptize me in his spirit, I couldn't see nothing, stand nothing, and hear nothing either. I was a do-gooder. Even when I was in the world, I was a do-gooder. Yeah, I was all that, you know, to myself. And God showed me, I need to show her who she really is so she can get her own mind right on there. She can start thinking in the right direction that she's not all of that. Yeah, and he had to help me. Because when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We wasn't doing nothing. We were doing all kind of evil stuff. He yet died for us. Before you entered your mother's womb, we entered our mother's womb. God already knew about us. He already knew. It wasn't no surprise. Oops. Oh, look at Barbara. She writing bad checks. Oops. Oh, look at her. She's selling dope. Oh, she committed fornication. No. He already knew. But he had an appointed date. Oh, Yahshua. He had an appointed date that he knew I would come to him. I couldn't refuse. And when that day came, I had to surrender 100%. Because 99 and a half wouldn't have did me no good. I had to surrender my all to him. I had to forget about what I thought I could do and who I was doing and what I was doing. He made me an offer I could not refuse. Ooh. And today I'm so glad about that offer. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad he made me an offer that I just could not refuse. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because he did what he said. I'm going to make your life better than it has ever been. But see, we get so religious and so holy and so deep, we can't tell the truth because we're afraid of what people are going to say. This is what I want you to say. She said when God come back, she going back with him. You don't have to worry about where she going to spend eternity. She said she's making a calling and election sure, not with the church folks, not with the pastor, not with a family, but with God. Because that's where my calling and election sure must be. If I'm doing that, then I'm treating everybody right. Because if I don't love God's people and don't treat them right, that's not getting it right with him. Oh, I feel all right this morning. I feel like testifying this morning. Because he's good to us. This same God looks beyond faults. Things we do, he should cut us off. Things we do, we should be dead. Things we've done, we should be dead and finished and gone on. But he looks beyond fault and yet meet need. I'm telling you what I know. He's a forgiving God. I don't care how many times you come and ask for forgiveness. I do it all the time. I don't care how many times you come to him and ask for forgiveness, he's going to forgive you. Oh, yeah? And guess what? He'll put you back on the straight and narrow, back on that straight and narrow, and it's like you've never been off it. That's the way he is. That's his love for us. That's his grace for us. That's his mercy for us. But we got need to give him something to work with. Give him the truth. Tell him all about us. Not that he don't know, but confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for us. When I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, today I said I was going to do this, this, and that, and I didn't get it done. Lord, forgive me. Lord, the people came and they act like they was crazy. And I said what I shouldn't have said to them in a harsh way. Lord, forgive me. And I called the company and the service people came out. I apologized first. Then I go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Because we can't walk around here like we don't never do no wrong, no harm, no. Oh, come on now. Come on. We was made in his image. We are not him. We were made in his image. He lives in us, but we are not him. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that have it all together, and we got to get it together with him. So I can't walk around and act like I'm so deep and so holy, and I'm better than everybody on the earth, and nobody greater than me. Oh, my goodness. No, no, no. Nobody's greater than he. He who? Almighty God who have all the power. Nobody's greater. Yeah, I can be here now and gone in the next few minutes. He will be here throughout eternity. Sometime I change because I like this blue over here today. Tomorrow I look at a different thing. I like orange. He remains the same. His word remains the same. He never go back on his word. He meant what he said and said what he meant. He was that way yesterday. He's that way today, and he will be that way forevermore. Full of love for us. His son is full of grace and truth for us. Ah, yeah, this morning we're grateful unto him. The songwriter said, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. I don't know what I would do without him. I need him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want to go to this one this morning, and when we come back, we are coming back with this wonderful message of Pastor E. Dewey Smith, and his message is, I'm in love with the stripper. I was floored when I saw it. I said, what is this? Oh, but he bringing a wonderful message, and I thank God for it. So, look, I want to go to this one this morning, and then we're coming right back with Dr. E. Dewey Smith. my soul. Ah, yeah, today. It is well with me and everything that's concerning me. It is well today. Why? Because God has it all in control. I'm casting my cares upon him, for he careth for me. Oh, yes, he does. Hey, glory, glory, hallelujah. And we thank God this morning. So we're going in to take a listen at Pastor E. Dewey Smith.
And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Make up 13% of the U.S. population, but over 50% of all new cases of HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, black women are 23 times more likely to be diagnosed with AIDS than white women. AIDS is the leading cause of death among black American women ages 25 to 44, and it has been for 11 years. Of all women newly infected with HIV in the U.S., 68% are black this year. Almost 20,000 Americans will die of AIDS, and most of them will be black. Today's message: I'm in love with a stripper.
Gospel of St. Mark. Gospel of St. Mark in the 6th chapter. Gospel of St. Mark in the 6th chapter. In the 22nd verse of St. Mark 6. St. Mark chapter 6, verse 22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." God bless you. You may be seated. I don't know if you are certain about this. I don't know if you're aware of this, but on this past Thursday, the 24th of August, ABC sponsored a show, Primetime Live, entitled "Out of Control: AIDS in Black America." The show was quite intriguing. Gave some statistics that have alarmed and sickened me since Thursday. We know that black America comprises 13% of the U.S. population. However, over 50% of all new cases of the HIV virus are African Americans. The infection rate of blacks is 8 times higher than the rate of whites. In 2006, AIDS is virtually a black disease by all accounts in the United States. Black women are 23 times more likely to be diagnosed with AIDS than white women. As of 2004, over 200,000 African Americans have already died from AIDS. Out of all women that are newly affected and infected with HIV, over 68% of women who are diagnosed with HIV are black women.
All right.
1 million Americans have already died of AIDS, and over half of that 1 million are black people. To make matters worse, Atlanta has been called the leading city in America of new cases of HIV and AIDS. Dr. Adora Adamora of the Chapel Hill School of Medicine of the University of North Carolina makes a statement that in the future our people will look back at this generation and simply say, what in the world were we thinking? My brothers and my sisters, to make matters worse, there's now a new pill that can be purchased over the counter without a prescription for those who are 18 and older. It is called the Plan B pill. This pill will allow any adult female to go and buy a prescription over the counter, which will allow her to stop the fertilization of her egg after 72 hours of unprotected sex. It is what is called an abortion pill, where a person can take this pill up to 72 hours after unprotected sex to stop the egg from fertilizing. It has been suggested that because of this new pill, which can be purchased over the counter, that by the year 2011, AIDS and HIV will increase over 400% among black young women between the ages of 14 and 19. My sisters and my brothers, even in the public school systems right here in DeKalb County, there have been HIV cases presented in young ladies and men as of the early age of 11 or 12. To add injury to insult, one of the leading reasons why those of the Centers for Disease Control suggest that AIDS and HIV is increasing is because of the silence of the black church. The church has been one of the leading institutions faced and ravaged by HIV, in so much that our best musicians and many of our best preachers are dying of AIDS, yet the church remains silent. I was wondering, in this particular context, is there a word from the Lord? What is the responsibility of the church? As our youth have started school and our college students are now back in college, what can we say from a biblical perspective that will set the background for proper behavior? It has been suggested that many persons of the secular world have more to say about AIDS and HIV than does the church. It's interesting that as I thought about this juxtaposition of the sacred versus the secular, God took me to the words of T-Pain, who once said by song, "I'm in love with a stripper." One of the things that the documentary shared was that this hip-hop generation, a generation that is involved in materialism and narcissism, that it has led to the spread of HIV, the understanding of multiple sexual partners, and the bling bling mentality has allowed persons and young men to now want to become ballers and shot callers, where masculinity is defined by the number of sexual partners that a young man may have. I thought about the words and even parts of the video that you saw regarding T-Pain, and I wondered, was there something that God had to say regarding this particular mentality? And then what I observed was quite intriguing, and that is that T-Pain was not the only individual who has been moved by a stripper. For one of the main characters of the New Testament, who belonged to one of the most influential families of the New Testament, fell into deep infatuation with a stripper, with a dancer, and through his behavior, we can glean insight and principles that I believe God will use to stop the spread of HIV and AIDS in Black America by simply observing the main character of our text this morning. This man, sisters and brothers, fell into deep love and infatuation with a stripper of his day. And I want to lift a few things about his life and then hopefully make some parallels to the young people and the not so young people in this room to challenge us and to show us the way of God and the ways of appropriate behavior. My brothers and my sisters, number one, let's notice as T-Pain is not the only fella who's fallen into deep love or infatuation with the stripper. Let's notice, number one, the man in this text before the stripper. It's right here in this text. There's a man in this text who has a certain type of lifestyle before he meets this dancer or this stripper. Well, let's notice his position. Who is this man? Well, the Bible says in St. Mark chapter 6, and I hope you have your Bible, it is right there in verse 14 that we see this man who, like T-Pain, fell in love or in deep infatuation with a stripper. Mark 6:14, it says, "And the king Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." This is Herod. You see him mentioned also there in verse number 17 of St. Mark 6. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." Here, this fella, his name is Herod Antipas. He's also called Herod the Tetrarch, meaning he was a ruler of the fourth parts of many provinces there in Galilee and Perea. Herod Antipas is the son of Herod the Great. In all probability, he was a Sadducee who had no prior religious convictions. This man is a man of great conviction and great position, rather, in that Herod Antipas is the king over Galilean and Perean provinces. His name is Herod Antipas. But not only should we notice his position, secondly, let's notice his perspective. His perspective is right there in verse number 20. It says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that John was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Here, Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, his perspective about John the Baptist is simple. The Bible said that he feared John. He had a reverence for John. He had a deep respect for John the Baptist. Now, although he's a Sadducee with no prior religious convictions, he has respect for John the Baptist in so much that he knew John was a just man and a holy man, and he observed John. And when he had heard John preach, the Bible says he did many things and heard John gladly. So his perspective was that he respected John. He regarded John, and he even received the teachings of John. Here's a man of great position. He's a king of a Galilean and Perean provinces. He has a proper perspective, and that he listens to John the Baptist proclaim the word about the forthcoming and this Messiah who would save the world. He has a good position. He has a good perspective. But notice this man's problem.
He has a problem before he meets this stripper. Notice the problem that he has. The problem that he has is in right here in verse number 17. It says, "For Herod had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not." Here is his problem. His problem was he was there visiting his brother whose name was Philip. They are brothers in that they have the same father. Herod the Great was both of their fathers. They had different mothers, but they have the same father. And here Herod Antipas is visiting his brother who's married to a sister by the name of Herodias. Now, there are inconclusivities regarding as to how their relationship moved from beyond where it was, but what we do know is that over the process of time, Herod Antipas took his brother's wife, Herodias, and married her for himself. Antipas was married to his sister, according to Josephus, by the name of Aretas, and Herodias was married to Herod Antipas' brother. But somehow he beguiled his brother's wife, or she seduced him. But truth came to power. His wife left him and went back with the father. And this fella, Herod Antipas, married his brother's wife by the name of Herodias. John the Baptist stood up to proclaim to him that what he had done was not proper. It was not right. And because of John's preaching, he locked John up into the prison there in proximity of the Dead Sea. And so the problem that Herod Antipas has is that he's married his brother's wife. This is the man before the stripper. He's a man of position. He's a king. He's a man who has a decent perspective. He respects John. He regards John. He received John. But because his new wife, Herodias, was upset with him and argued with him and wanted to kill John, then does the king simply incarcerate John and put him in a prison that was attached to his palace? But although he locked John up, he incarcerates John the Baptist, but yet he was still inspired by John. His problem is that he is in between the bed of Herodias and the cell of John. On one hand, he hears his wife talk about her disgust for John. But on the other hand, he hears John's teachings and notices that there's something holy about John. So he's in a precarious predicament. Should he respect and honor his wife, or should he honor John? This was the man before the stripper. But not only should we notice the man before the stripper, secondly, I want you to notice the mess behind the stripper. There's some mess behind the stripper. Well, what do you mean, some mess behind the stripper? Well, look what happens, y'all. A couple of things happen that make up this mess behind the stripper. Look at verse number 21 of St. Mark 6. It says, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief of states of Galilee." Well, a special day came. It was the day that honored the king's birthday. It was a special day, and so he threw a party at Machaerus there near the Dead Sea. This oriental party was only for the men, and so he invited the lords, the captains, and other Galilean potentates from all throughout the Orient and all throughout the vicinity to come on this special day that celebrated his birthday. So luxurious were the Roman and Oriental parties. He had laid it out for all of his homeboys. It is a special day. But not only was it a special day, secondly, this mess not only involved a special day, but this mess involved his stepdaughter. What do you mean, Dewey? The mess involved his stepdaughter. Well, look right here in verse number 21 and verse 22. "And when the convenient day was come," that Herod on his birthday, that's the special day. But what do you mean his stepdaughter? Verse 22. Watch it. "And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in." Well, the special day was his birthday, but the stepdaughter, it says it was the daughter of Herodias. Well, who is Herodias? Are y'all with me here? Y'all ain't sleep, are you? Herodias is his new wife. Now, Herodias had been married to... Okay, I'm going to make sure y'all still... I knew y'all go... Herodias had been married to his brother, Philip. Philip and Herodias had a daughter by the name of Salome. Are y'all with me here? Well, when he takes his brother's wife, Herodias, his brother and Philip and Herodias had a daughter, Salome, and so on his special day, guess who walks in the room? His stepdaughter. This was his stepdaughter, but is also his niece. It is his niece by ancestry. It is his stepdaughter by adultery. And so now his niece or his new stepdaughter walks into the room on this luxurious Roman Oriental party. It was a special day. Now you see his stepdaughter. But to see, watch this sensual dance. It was a sexual dance. Look what happens, verse 22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, here it is, and she danced. And not only did she dance, the text says that she pleased Herod and them that sat with him. I wanted to know about this dance. Was it the type of dance that David talks about in the psalm? Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the dance. And when I read this text, the Greek phrase there is orchestrato en toi miso, which means that literally she leaps in the middle of the party. Orchestrato, where we get the English word orchestration from. And she moves with rapid motion. It was a shameful, lewd dance that her motions inflamed the guests of the party with extreme lust. It was an indecent dance. It was unbecoming. She degraded herself. A.T. Robertson says it was a licentious dance. It was dancing that was done only by the professional women with loose morals. Often, even in the Orient, this dance involved the elimination of clothing. It is a dance done by professional women with no morals. It was an unprecedented thing for women of rank or any type of respectability to do this type of dance. She broke all acceptable rules of society. Kenneth Weiss says it was an immoral spectacle. Dr. E. Bickersteth says it was done with lust and a sensualness where she degraded herself shamelessly with no decency or no decorum. She was of the lowest status of any woman in the Greco-Roman world. She leaps in the middle of the party, orchestrato, and with rapid motion, she shamefully degrades herself. She inflamed the guests with extreme lust by her motions and by her elimination of clothing. Now, in the Greek, we call it orchestrato. In the English, contemporary colloquialisms, we call a stripper. She strips. She uses her beauty. She strips at this party. She is indecent. She strips all of her clothing before her uncle and a new stepfather. It was a special day. You saw a stepdaughter. You see this sensual dancing, but 2D, notice a stupid decision. When Herod saw his niece / stepdaughter dancing, look what he says to his daughter in verse 22, his stepdaughter, his niece in verse 22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever you will, cut money, and I'll give it to you. Look what he says. Look what he says in verse 23. It says, and he swear. That literally means in Greek that he invoked the name of God. He said, sure enough, I promise, so help me God. Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you up unto half of my kingdom. I don't know about y'all, but that must have been some kind of dance. He didn't say, I'll give you $10 or $20. This wasn't no table dance. This was a house dance, a mansion dance. He said, I'll give you up to half of everything I have. I wish y'all helped me preach here for a minute. He said, like T-Pain, she don't know what she's doing to my head. I got my boy. I'm messed up. Girl, whatever you want. There's never any history that he touched her, but he's willing to give her half. So moved was Herod by Salome, his brother Philip's daughter, his new wife's daughter, that she danced and degrades herself. It's been said that she's between the ages of 14 and 17. He exploits this child to the extent that now he's willing to give her half. Y'all don't hang up. Stay with me. Of whatever he had. I tell you, I wanted you to see that there is a man before the stripper, but you see the mess behind the stripper. Now, not only does he degrade and allow his own family to be exploited, but now there are other men at the party with him. Chief, lords, other Galilean potentates. And now he's willing to allow his niece / stepdaughter to degrade and lower herself publicly before other men. Child exploitation. A couple weeks ago there in Gwinnett County, did they break up a prostitution ring where men right here in metropolitan Atlanta were taking turns with a 12-year-old girl. Here this man has ungodly thoughts, incestuous thoughts about his own niece, his own stepdaughter. He's in a mess. Some say he's intoxicated, he's inebriated. Such was the case with Roman parties, but the text doesn't say anything about inebriation or intoxication. And even if he was inebriated or intoxicated, you should never get so inebriated or so intoxicated that you allow yourself to get in this type of situation. And now he tells his niece, his stepdaughter, whatever you want, up to half of the kingdom, I give it to you just because of your dance. How many of y'all brothers are giving up rent money? Card note, children's lunch money, because you're trying to fuel and feed your flesh. Y'all mighty quiet today. I know I'm a I want to show you the man behind the scripture, the stripper, and secondly, the man before the stripper, the mess behind the stripper. But thirdly, watch it, and here's where I'm coming home. Let's notice the murder because of the stripper. And here's where we're going to tie it all together. You saw the man before the stripper. You saw the mess behind the stripper. But thirdly, notice the murder because of the stripper. Look what the text says. Look what the text says. It says in verse 23, and he swear unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I'll give it to you under half of my kingdom. Watch it. And she went forth. And she said to her mother, what shall I ask? And her mother said, give me the head. Her mama has been trying to get through to John way up in verse 19. I just read it for you. Let me go back to show you how long she's been mad with John. Look in verse number 19. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. But now his wife, the king's wife, wanted to kill him. But she couldn't kill him because her husband had respect and they were afraid of what the people would say. Well, why did she want to kill John? It's right there in verse 18. You see why she wanted to kill John. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Roy Zuck says that she was the one who left her first husband, Philip, because Herod Antipas had more money than Philip. And so she used her husband man's beauty as a beautiful queen to now beguile and seduce her brother's wife. And John came and said, I know what y'all doing in here, but yes, and it's wrong. She wanted to kill him, could not. And so it is believed that she dressed her own daughter, bathed her with the Persian and Oriental oils, sent her into the party to degrade herself because she knew her husband was a fool. And then when the daughter comes out, because the daughter does not have a mind of her own, the daughter asks her mother, because the daughter is a minor, Mama, what should I ask for? He told me he can give me half of the kingdom. Notice what she said. I don't want half the kingdom. I want the head of John the Baptist. What's interesting here is that Herod is undermined by his wife. I think this is relevant as we talk about this thing of AIDS and HIV in the black community. It's interesting that Herodias here is a mama. She should be a mother here before she's a wife, because the whole marriage was jacked up and tore up from the floor. But notice how she uses her own daughter for own selfish purposes. You would have thought, it would seem to me, that she would have been the one to make sure that her daughter was brought up the right way. But yet, what can she say to Salome that's decent and that is something that's positive based upon how she had presented herself before her own daughter? You know, it's interesting. Somebody came to me a few weeks ago and said, Pastor, I want you to talk to my young daughter. She's tore up. She's wild. She's cutting school. She's just loose. She's messing with this boy and that boy. I said, but here's the problem. Don't bring me your daughter to talk to her because you shacking. Y'all not feeling me. Y'all not feeling me here. She see all her brothers and sisters got different daddies, and you never been married, never had a decent relationship, and shacking right now. What do you expect me to say to her that's going to change her life, and the one she's living with every day lives like a clown? And part of the problem in our community is that we have parents. I was talking to the young lady who's one of our church who works in the cab counter. She said, Pastor, something happened the other day in school that just broke my heart. I said, what happened? That was 6-year-old kids and a 6-year-old young lady on the playground in an uncompromising position, acting as if she was doing gyrations with a young boy, as if she was doing a mock sexual procedure. They pulled her to the side, took her to the principal's office and said, why would you be on the young man gyrating and doing that? She said, well, my mama does it all the time in front of, with her boyfriend. How many of us in our communities have set our young children up for failure because the issue is not jacked up children, it's jacked up parenting? This man in the house, that man out the house, this man around your child, that man around your child. At some point, you got to ask the question, is this the one and this is not the one? I'm going to wait until that one comes. I refuse to keep exposing people to my children, to satisfy my own lust and make sure I get myself together first. This man's wife undermines him. What kind of example are you setting for your child? Those of you who use your children just for child support. Have babies to get a more chicks. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Have children trying to find professional men to do that just to be able to have more money for yourself. And then what happens, use the child support or the welfare check to get your hat on, to buy clothes for you and buy steaks for your boyfriend, and your children walk around with dingy clothes with a snotty nose. Listen, at least if you're going to have a child, at least your child ought look decent if you have to go without. At least your child ought have if nobody else in the house has anything. But she uses her own child for her own selfish purpose. He's undermined by his own wife. She said, kill him. And watch it, although he's undermined by his wife, watch it, young people, he understood it was wrong. What do you mean he understood it was wrong? Verse 25, she came in straight with haste and said to the king, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. She said, give me John's head on a platter. Look at verse 26. Watch it. And the king was exceeding. He knew what she asked for was wrong. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Now he's trying to floss, the young folks say, in front of his boy. He knows he's dead wrong, but yet he still asks for the executioner to go down and do his thing. You know, it's strange. How many folk right now who's suffering from HIV got HIV because they knew it was wrong? Yet, because they're trying to impress and make somebody else happy. Y'all not feeling me here. Because you told him, young lady, that you love him, and now he's trying to make you prove your love by doing something that's ungodly and outside the will of God. You've got to understand, young person and old person, what's right from what's wrong, and not allow yourself to get into a situation where it's wrong. There's no right way to do wrong. Oh, y'all don't want to hear what I'm trying to say. And so what he does, undermined by his wife. He understood it was wrong, but yet he was unwilling to change his wickedness. So the king sent an executioner and commanded the head to be brought forth. And they went and beheaded John in prison and brought his head in a charge and gave it to a damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Cuts John's... Watch it. Somebody else dies because of his dumb decision. You know, the leading cause of death now for black women is not cancer, but AIDS. The leading cause of death for black women between the ages of 25 and 44 is AIDS. AIDS, the leading cause of death in black women between the ages of 25 and 44. What's happening now is that black women, many of whom are in monogamous relationships, are marrying or dating men, many of whom have what the documentary says, they have succumbed to the down-low syndrome. Now, y'all stay with me for a minute. Please don't hang up. And what's happening now, watch it, is that the church, we're silent, and now grandmama and the church tells the man, listen, get married. Go have your children. And that validates and affirms your masculinity. But men who have bisexual and homosexual tendencies, in order to be accepted in the church, knowing they really don't want a wife, but in order to prove to their mama and the church that they are men, go and marry a woman and have children, knowing deep down that they have feelings for other men. Y'all ain't fit me here. And they mess around with other men and go back home and give something to an unsuspecting wife because of a dumb decision to want to impress other people. Now, here's what I'm saying. Part of the problem is that the church is homophobic. I've been that way. Homophobic. Say homophobic. Make sure you hear that. Get homophobic. That's not homosexual. Homophobic. I'm not trying. But listen. And what that means is that we are afraid of the things that are different from us. In other words, we categorize sin. If a man has 3-4 women, he's cool. But if a man is homosexuality, he's an abomination going to hell. Y'all, now come on, help me here. Help me. Let's be honest. And what happened is we have made folk not be honest and not be transparent because we socially categorize sin as if homosexuality is worse than adultery and fornication. Y'all ain't with me here. But there are no categories of sin in the eyesight of God. So what we've got to say at the church is this. Listen, we accept you. And it's all right for you to admit your homosexuality and your bisexuality. Number one, what you need to do is do not go get involved with a woman until you get yourself. Yo, okay. No need of messing up some unsuspecting female's life because of your twisted issues. Get yourself together first. Now she may have HIV. Your kids may have HIV because you're trying to impress somebody else. And what we got to say is this, come on to the church just as you are. Now, what it means is we're going to love you because all of us are wrong. We're going to pray you through your situation, and hopefully you can get yourself together, but no need of doing that. And it's all right for you to be single and by yourself and struggle with your issues. You are not worse than somebody else because everybody in this church is sinful. And here's the reality. Jesus loves all of us in spite of our sinfulness. And so we've got to find a way to get the man with homosexual tendencies to get him to admit his problem. Oh, I can't believe I'm even saying this. This ain't, and even say to him, we're going to find ministries and we're going to love you. And pastor going to shake your hand and the deacon's going to shake your hand. And we're going to love you in spite of your issue. Because what that means, if I'm afraid to shake your hand, you still, and if I'm afraid to shake your hand because you homosexual, and I mean, homosexuality don't rub off in a handshake. And the reason why a lot of us are afraid to shake their hand because you must be scared you're going to like some. Y'all ain't feeling me here. But when you know who you are, you're content and secure in who you are, you can hug everybody. You can shake everybody. You can tell them, I love you, because that's the way Christ would do. Christ does not discriminate because of I. Now, I don't mean we're going to be boys. We ain't going to be riding together nowhere. I mean, I'm not saying that. But we can at least show love. And come on, help me here, somebody. Come on, help me here, somebody. Come on, help me here, somebody. Can anybody admit that everybody in this room is jacked up, that something is wrong with everybody in this room? It may not be homosexuality, but something is wrong. And until we can all admit, and the church has been so hypocritical. Man got kids by a bunch of women. He cool. Somebody's homosexual. He going to hell. What's the difference? And brothers saying, you know, I'm not gay, I'm not bisexual, I'm not. If you have sex with men, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not doing that. If you have sex or feelings with men, don't be so technical. You have issues. Don't try to act like something you're not. See, Herod was not down low. Herod was low down. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Took his brother's wife. Got his niece, stepdaughter, dancing in front of, they ain't down low, that's low down. And any brother who is married to a woman but having sex with your frat boy and saying the boy's just chilling, you chilling all right. That ain't down low, that's low down. Be honest. Let me say something else to you. Murder. The leading city, the leading states for rising HIV cases are North Carolina and Atlanta. The research triangle of North Carolina and Atlanta. A survey was done by some young men in the research triangle area of North Carolina. And it was suggested that over 40% of the men, African-American men who were in school in the Research Triangle of North Carolina, possibly had been exposed to HIV. 40% of the college students, men in North Carolina. Those figures are only bested by the men they suppose, they're doing surveys now, in Atlanta University Center, that they expect those figures will be larger than the figures in the Research Triangle of North Carolina. It's not just a homosexual, bisexual thing. It also can be transmitted now in heterosexual activities. It's been said that young people are more afraid, more young women are afraid of getting pregnant than they are of getting AIDS. And see, the problem I have is that we come to church, don't want to be honest and talk about these issues because we're too holy and all this kind of thing. We don't need to talk about that in church because you're so holy and righteous. Our kids are downstairs. But here's the reality. If you got three kids, you ain't been talking about Jesus all the time. And until we deal with reality, we don't want to talk about it to expose our youth. If we don't do it, I was talking to Deacon Gresham's daughter this morning. She told me that they've had people in their office. She works for health agency, young girls and boys, 10 and 11 years of age. That every 6 months, the figures are getting younger and younger. 11-year-old children with HIV. Not in Africa, but right here in Atlanta, right here, even in our church. And you think she's fine, fella? It ain't about how good she looks. You'll be amazed. And we got to tell our young people, listen, we understand what y'all do, what y'all going through, but it's a different day. Back in our day, the only thing we had to worry about was just getting some penicillin. Come on, okay. As long as you had a prescription of penicillin and the red, was the red? Come on, Steve, don't act like you know what I'm talking about. You put that stuff on your pubic hairs and then it get all the... Come on, help me here, somebody. As long as you had that, you were cool. But now that stuff I bought, a penicillin and red, can't get rid of. And until we are honest and open up the dialogue, more and more of our young people are going to die and be murdered because many who are transmitting AIDS know they got it, know they have it, but won't be honest and tell the other partner. Are you so moved because she's fine? Huh? She look good. She looks clean. I remember the older boys back in my day telling me, if you want, ever want to know about a girl, if she's clean or not, just get some earwax out of your ear. And... Okay. Y'all kill me with this old pretentious. Don't act like y'all know what I'm talking about. Fellas, anybody know what I'm talking about, fellas? I see up there. You get the earwax out your ear and put it in and that'll let you know. See, y'all laugh, I'm telling you the truth. But I'm telling you something right now, that don't work no more. You get some earwax out your ear and put it somewhere and won't have no finger when you put it back out. Because I'm trying to tell you. This year alone, over 20,000 folk will die from AIDS, and at least 12,000 of them will be African American. What's even more sad, it's been said that a lot of black women know they have bisexual men. But they want a man so bad.
Come on, Eastwood. Come on here.
And now with a new pill that can be purchased over the counter, AIDS among 14 to 19-year-old girls will multiply by 400% by the year 2011. What is our response? First of all, I believe we need to say to young people that it's not all about your feelings. About how you look, that you'll make a decision out of impulse and emotionalism. This fella said, I'm willing to give you everything based on a dance. How do you lose half what you have based on 15 minutes? How many of you now got child support for 18 years because of a dance? How many of you now have lost your family because of a dance? How many of you now have to give up everything? Is it really worth half of everything?
Come on.
Young man in high school, is it worth you losing your life? Is it worth you losing your college career? Is it worth it? Young lady, is that baby worth you not going to college and have to live with your mama and losing your goals? Is it worth it? You got the rest of your life to get grown. You got the rest of your life to have sex. There's a whole lot more to life and marriage and relationships. What about love? What about commitment? What about working together? What about paying these bills? What about raising children together and taking responsibility? It's a whole lot more to it. I knew y'all won't like this mess, but I got to do what God told me to do. And here's the problem. It's not just young folk.
All right, now. Let's do it.
That's being wild and loose. There's some 55-year-old brother here still at the club because you got a prescription for a little blue pill, and now you think you're a Mac Daddy. Kill your old behind home with your grandchildren and feed the dog.
Preach.
Man, when is the party gonna be over? And since some of y'all don't like this message because I ain't telling you gonna be rich, I ain't telling you how much money you gonna have, what good is all of that stuff when our young people are dying and we're talking about going to heaven? But what about right now?
All right.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can share somebody with the word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, you're preaching good.
So what should we do, preacher? Tell our young people to get your education. Cut off all those videos. Watch Nickelodeon or something that's going to help you learn something. Go off to college. Get you an education. You get hot, take a shower. Pray that the Holy Ghost will give you what you need. Pray that God will send you a committed monogamous man or woman. Get married to them. Both of y'all get a job. Get a house. Leave your mama's house. Get a job first. Bring some income. Get married. And then you can have all the sex you want. That's what your life should be. But what you're doing right now will not work. One young lady right here in our church, saying, been in church all of her life, right in this church. Her mom said, Pastor, I caught her with 6 boys in the house. And you think that's beautiful, that's wonderful, because you getting paid attention by 6 boys at the same time. That ain't beautiful, that's stupid. Ain't no man gonna want to marry no young girl that 6 of his friends been with at the same time. That ain't smart. Okay, y'all backed up off me. Y'all backed up off me right there. I know I'm telling the truth. That ain't worth it. Recognize you are a queen, young lady. And recognize that God has made you fearfully and wonderfully in his own image. And never degrade or lower yourself to those standards. But preacher, what do you do if you messed up? What if you do if you got some other tendencies? What do you do, Pastor, if I've had sex with 3 boys? What if you do, Pastor, if I got a baby and got a child support, I'm only 17? What do you do? I hear you messing. My mama didn't tell me. I learned about sex through the streets. How do I get it straight? The best I can tell you is to say like David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Make me to know joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me the right spirit. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and take not thy spirit. God, give me back my joy. Give me back my intimacy. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back where I first believed. Give me another chance. Oh, if my people who call by my name shall offer themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I forgive their sin. I hear the land. I declare right now, no other young lady in this church, I'm speaking it prophetically, no other young lady in this church will let young boys run a train on them. No other young lady in this church will have to worry about being pregnant again. I speak it right now and believe by faith, no other young lady in this church will have her future aborted by bad decision. God, would you cover our young people with your anointing, with your Holy Spirit, be a hedge of protection all around us. I'm out of my time, but thank you for yours. Somebody give him praise in advance. Somebody give him praise for victories. Somebody praise him for giving him another chance. Somebody give him praise for protecting you.
I cry right now because it could have been me. Come on, help me. I cry right now because God helped me.
It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times. I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me,
yep.
And I thought that it was,
yeah.
And I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times. I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Oh, what was meant to kill me, it only made me better.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a message. I'm in love with a stripper, he said. My goodness, my goodness. And I remember T-Pain's coming out with that song. And he talked about Herodias, since Herodias didn't like the truth, and she was mad with John because John told her, hey, look here, you shouldn't be married to your brother-in-law, in other words. You shouldn't be married to your husband's brother. Yeah. And she didn't like that. And you find many cases like that today, not just in the Bible of long ago, but actually live today. People don't like the truth. They do not like the truth. And before they face up to the truth, they'll lie or make excuses. But it is what it is. It is what it is. You can lie. You can make excuses. That won't undo the truth. That means that you just lied or covered it up. Or you don't accept it. Because see, many days the truth hurts. The truth brings pain sometimes to people. They can't take that. Some people sweep what their family have done under the rug. What their children have done under the rug. When the scripture plainly says the first one without sin cast the first stone. So if your children did something, my children did something, or what my children did was worse than your children, it don't make them no better than each other. Wrong is wrong. But we're afraid of the truth. We're afraid to stand up and speak the truth. We're afraid to let people know. But when it's like that, we haven't been fully delivered yet. Once God fully delivered you, you don't care about what nobody's saying. God done delivered you. If God forgave me, if God can accept me, you may as well. Why? He said, if he be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. So come on against me. Remind me of my past. Talk about my family. Talk about I lived in the project. Talk about how poor I was and am and this, that, and that don't matter to me. I'm going somewhere. I'm on my way somewhere now. He went back to prepare a place for me that where he is, I may be also one day. I'm preparing to go to the place that he prepared for me. And there's other stuff that's going, I just can't get into it. It's a waste of good time. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us to number our days, that we don't waste our time foolishly on the earth talking about other people and what they've been through and what they're going through. You heard what they said. Ain't nobody got time for that today. Let the world have all of that. The people of God, we focus on other things. We focused on him and getting right with him. Do you know I'm still focusing on how long I was away from him? I didn't come to God until I was in my early 30s. Oh, I went to church and all of that now. I cooked first Sunday dinner. I mean, breakfast at the church. Tuesday night prayer service, I cooked and served the first lady and the pastor and just loved them and loved the ministry. Oh, I done did all of that. But guess what? Wasn't none of that real. Before the pastor gave the benediction, good. I was out the front door with my boyfriend, headed to Daytona. I'm just telling you the truth. But when God came in for real, it was a whole different thing. See, because when I was doing all of that at the church, bringing people to church because I wanted them to see how well my pastor preached and how we had church and how we clicked together in the church and just foolishness. I had a form of godliness and was denying the power thereof. Hey, that was a way that seemed right to me, but the end was going to be destruction. So I went to God for real, from a sincere heart. And I asked him about him, and I told him about me. He came, and when he came for real. Yeah. He taught me. He taught me. I'm praying prayers, Lord, let me die so you can live. My flesh had to die. That's why I had a form of godliness. That's how I could do all of that at the church, hang around the church folks and all of that, still doing the same thing. I could do that because I had a form of godliness. I believed, but I wasn't investigating. I believed, but I wasn't seeking God. I believed, but I wasn't studying his word and allowing his word to get in my heart that I might not sin against him. Yeah, form of godliness. Denying speaking in tongues. Oh, yeah, I was something serious. People pray for people and they pass out on the floor. I'm looking. They need to stop being fake. A form of godliness. But yet I'm singing loud. Lift your hands and tell, I'm lifting my hand. I'm going through the motions of all of this with a form of godliness. Go back there and laugh and play with the usher. I'm just telling you the truth. One thing I did know, listen now, one thing I knew, I knew not to play with the men of God. I knew not to be no pastor girlfriend. Oh, I was scared of that. I knew better than that. I knew when a brother was sincere about God in the church, I knew not to play around him. Because the Lord showed me, you're trying to pull them out of their place with me? Oh, yeah, he had something for me. I mean, a great spanking. He chastised those he loved. Yeah, and he chasing those, you know, those he loved. So I knew better than that. I was over at this church, and I was this brother. Oh, I just loved him, I thought. And I'm going over there to the church, because, see, when I go, I'm going to see him and this and that, talk to him, laugh, blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting at my table one day, in my dining room table, and the Lord showed me. My kids were small, still in school. And the Lord showed me, don't go back over there bothering him. Leave him alone. Because you will pull him out of his place with me. Do y'all know I stopped going over there? I couldn't even think of him no more. I had to let it go. Because see, listen, the gift come without repentance. You see the people, the palm readers with the big hand on the sign, come on in here, let me read you. I don't read nobody. God speak to you. All these people had gifts. They got gifts. But it is what it says it is. It's a gift. If God give you a gift, he's not going to force you to use it back for him. It's your gift. Do what you want with it. So the palm readers and all these kind of people, witchcraft workers and all of that, somewhere in there they had some gifts. But they used the gifts for the wrong thing. So even when I had a form of godliness and I was in the world, before I fully come to the Lord, I was gifted in many ways. And I knew when it was God many days, and I knew when it wasn't God many days. Don't ask me how I knew. All I knew is the gift blessed me. You seen people singing circular music, they don't sing no type of gospel. Oh, but they got a beautiful voice. God gave them the gift to sing. They're not using it for him, but yet they got the gift to sing. They know when you're in the right key, when you're in the wrong key. They know what songs fit you, what songs don't fit your voice. Same thing when you're gifted. You know some stuff. You may not know all about it, because, see, I didn't know about prophecy. I didn't know about God really using your mouth and this and that. I really didn't know all about that stuff. I just believed in my heart somewhere God was real, but I didn't really know because I really hadn't given him a real chance, you know, like seeking him, wanting to be his, giving the devil back all his tools, coming out from among the world and being separated. I didn't know about all of that, but once he come in, he fixed my heart. He regulated my mind. He made me a new creature in him. And the more I begin to seek him, the more I begin to learn about his ways. And I begin to pray like David, Lord, teach me your ways. I can walk upright before you if you'll teach me your ways. Ah, yeah. And it is all right today. But I thought that was a wonderful message because he brought a lot of hot points out in it that needed to be said. Because how can I train my daughter and I'm twerking? How can I train my daughter and from her birth until she got 16, I'm still clubbing. I'm still smoking weed. I'm still drinking. Everybody in the house got a different daddy. And I'm still bringing different men in. I'm letting my daughter know what I'm doing, and I'm married. I'm letting my daughter know I'm committing adultery, and then I tell her why. Ain't no excuse. Ain't no why. There is no excuse and no reason for you to share with your daughter why you committing adultery on your husband. Because she gonna feel like that's the right thing to do. Oh, I understand. Oh, mama did it. Young boy, daddy did it. That's why many young men fight women. Because they saw that in the home. They saw their uncle beat the aunt brain out. They saw their granddaddy slap the grandmama. And they think that's the way life is. Some parents are liars, so the children become great liars because that's what they saw the parents do. We set examples for our children. And then sometimes it's not what the parents did, it's who they've been around. Once they left your house and they said they was 18, 19, whatever, 20, whatever age they left, they got around other people. And this is what they saw these people do. You took them to church. You prayed over them. You prayed for them. You kept them in Sunday school and church. You made sure they was in a ministry in the church. They sang in the choir. They was ushers. They served on this. They served on that. He said, train them up in the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. But sometimes folk don't want what's right. You have to pray for them and keep it moving. Yeah, because they don't want what is right. Yeah. And see, we cover our kids. We speak the blood of Jesus. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask God to cover them. We ask God to loose his protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect our children from all hurt, harm, or danger, our grandchildren, great-grand. Some people got great-great-grands. Yeah. But Herodias, she just could not stand that John the Baptist and had his head cut off and brought to her basically on a silver platter. You know, that was evil, and that made her day. Ooh, that heart was evil. A lot of people say that heart was black. Yeah. No light shining in that. It was filthy. Mm-hmm. But I thank God this morning for his word, and we have the opportunity to live it. Hey, 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 Brother D in the house this morning. Good morning, Brother D. God bless you today. God bless you. Pray that you and the family doing good. And it's always a great pleasure to see that number. God, let me know. I'm yet blessed. I'm yet blessed. It may not always be the way that we want it, but we're still here, and we still have the opportunity. Hallelujah, to tell God thank you and to know that this too shall pass, whatever it is that we don't desire or we don't like, because our trials come to make us strong. Brother D got some wonderful testimonies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember one year, not too many years ago, he had a really, really bad accident. Bad accident. He was messed up for a while. Then he got shot. This been recently. And God has restored him and restored him the more. And so we tell God, thank you. We tell God, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, because he's able. He's able. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone that has something this morning that they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in today. And because even though we had the message of I'm in love with a stripper, we yet got testified pride. We yet can talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. Hallelujah. That's what Sister Ingrid did right off the bat this morning. I thank you, Lord. All right, Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, good morning, sister. I'm doing well, very well. And I thank you for always taking my call, because when I want to go right, then the devil is trying to send me left. So then I have to say, you know, I better call fast, because I'm about to lose my mind in here. People taking from me and standing in my face, and I'm seeing them walking out my house with my stuff. I'm getting angry now. But God had to teach me yesterday, they not taking from you, baby. They taking from God. That resonated so well with me yesterday. Because God is the provider. Everything you have, God gave it to you. God has given you everything, Jerry, a house, paper. Every stick of furniture in your house is brand new, from the bed to the refrigerator. There's nothing, even the pots in my house, I looked in the cabinet, are brand new, and I don't even cook. And then God had me to remind those people that were stealing from me, well, you know what, you might need that drill, because I don't do no maintenance anyway. You might need those my soap powder, because I don't wash clothes anyway. You might need that pine saw, because I don't even clean my house. You clean my house. You cut my grass. You fix everything to get broken in here. But, you know, the devil will rise up in you when you're seeing people walk out your house with your stuff in their hands. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, this mine. And arguing with you. So I just said, oh, okay, baby. I realized my husband and I lived here 43 years, and the man probably never did have a power drill. Well, that's true. The man didn't have it. God had it. The earth and the fullness of it. So everything on the earth belonged to God. But I told him one thing. I said, you be careful stealing from God, baby, because there will be a price to pay. I'm grateful that you're taking from me, because double for your trouble. So, Barbara, today's message is the earth and the fullness of it belongs to God. Fret not yourself. Do not get angry when you see something you don't like. Just tell Daddy. Daddy, did you see that? Just like my grandchild says to me, Grandmama, did you see that? Yeah, baby. Why didn't you get upset? Oh, it wasn't that serious. So when someone is doing something to you, yes, you can see it, but God has got the plan. God will fix what the devil is trying to do. And I'm so grateful, Barbara. I've come a long, long ways from where. And you know what? People like to remind you of what you used to do. Oh, you were this. And you're an adulteress, and you this, and you that. And you know what I said? You're right. But the key word is, I've graduated from the used-to-be school. Old things pass away. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm a new creature in Christ. I prefer to be the new creature than that old person. I thought I was having fun. All I was having, after you throw it back, to me is to remind me I was disgracing myself. I'm in love with a stripper. Sin will cause you to do things that you would normally do. Cut a head off of a man and put it on the platter. Sin will cause you to do things you wouldn't do. Go in the house and take something that's not yours. But you're not doing nothing to nobody but God. And he sits high, as my mother used to say, and looked low. Baby, whatever happened, always look to the hills. Keep 121 in your word every day. Look to the hills. Because that's where your help comes from, baby. God will use somebody to bless you. When my ex-husband and I got divorced, he said, I don't even know why I'm doing this for you. I started laughing because I had found God then. God will meet everyone your needs. Oh, well, my stimulus check ain't got it. Well, it ain't time for it to get there. When your stimulus check get in the bank, it'll be when God get ready for you to have it. Don't get excited. Just wait on God. And that's my testimony today. I must wait on God. Because I was sitting on brand new furniture, and until after something happened that I didn't like, I walked through the house and I said, oh my God, everything in here is new. The pictures on the wall is new. Even the air condition that keeps and cool is less than a year old. How blessed am I? I mean, even the toilet is new. The sink in the bathroom is new. The shower is new where I take a bath. I am truly blessed. I have nothing to be concerned about but serving God. I used to sleep to 10:30 because, don't disturb me before 10:30. Now I'm jumping up not because I want God to give me something. It's because I want to give God something, my time. Because God already see my needs, and he going to meet them. I don't even have to ask him. He meets every need. Bank account may look low. It was looking low, and I wanted a sub so bad. I said, oh, God, I don't have a 36 cent in the bank. I pulled up my account, and that was $31. I said, oh, my God. Order your sub, Jerry. He meets my needs, even all my wants. I can't even say God's not even meeting my wants right now, Bob.
Thank you,
I serve a real, real good God. He wakes me up. So since he wake me up and start me on my way, I must start out with him, and I must go to sleep with him. I used to get on the phone with my boyfriend half the night. Good night, you good night. No, I need to tell God good night now. I need to say, good morning, Father. Let's not forget who is on our side. Nobody but Jesus. People will tell you one thing. Oh, yeah, they'll make you promises. But you better count on them that they're going to break them. And God will let the same people that's taken from you let you see what's happening to them. Be careful when you start messing with the people of God. It's like you mess with a person's child. They'll say, no, you got the wrong child here. So don't mess with me. You got the wrong child. You got the wrong child. My daddy is king. And this is not my last home. I'm only here on the loan. This stuff here ain't nothing but a loan from God. My real house is in John 14. In my Father's house, I'm in a mansion. That's where I'm got to get to, my mini mansion, not this right here. This is not my last rodeo. This is just me to recognize that God is who he say he is. So today, in Jesus' name, I thank him. Thank you for your foreclosure that was on the door, and a week later you sent the deeds in the mail. Hallelujah. I thank you for the times I wrote the bad check because I couldn't afford the light bill, but you covered me and you didn't send me to jail. Hallelujah. I thank you that I was committing adultery. I was even committing adultery in somebody else's home, but you didn't get me killed. Oh, I'm blessed. Yes, remember all the bad things. You used to do this. Well, yeah, I graduated from the used-to-be school. That's old things. It's passed away. And if you ever listen to Pharaoh and Pharaoh, he'll say, I was big tobacco and I did this, but I can't brag about the past because that's all I'll ever have. I got to move to the future. Call me Pharaoh and Pharaoh. No, I don't need to call Pharaoh and Pharaoh. I need to call God to get my brand new future. my autistic son and not clapping after I said that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sister Barbara, I'll turn it back over to you, but I just had to tell the world I serve a good, good, great God.
Hey, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor and praise. Thank you, God. Zechariah 2:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, but he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Did you hear that, Jerry?
Yes,
he
ma'am.
That touches, they touching the apple of his eye. You the apple of God's eye. Yeah, so we not gonna worry about it because we understand God gave you what to say. He even gave you what to say. Because I remember the time, Jerry, they would have been. they would have been hurt.
I've been in jail, okay?
He gave you what to say. Oh, no, baby, don't worry about that. You say that's your power tool. Okay, sugar, go on with that. I don't use no power tools. But you say my husband gave you, and you said it was yours, and you lent it to my husband. My husband did all this work to this house, and he never owned a power tool. When I remember buying that particular power tool for him, well, okay, sugar, go ahead on. Yeah, take the power too.
I don't
no maintenance or nothing.
You walking out with my tie, washing powder, and you saying
it's
yours. I said, oh, okay.
Oh,
wash no clothes anyway. Thank you.
But I wanted to know, Jared, what your detergent doing at my house? How did that come about? You live over there and I live over there, but your detergent is at my house?
Yeah. I just said, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know I don't wash clothes anyway, baby. Go ahead on with it.
Okay. It says, Zechariah 2:8 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, this is what he said, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Oh, yeah. You are the apple of his eye today. We are. The believer, we're the apple of his eye. And God have it all in control for us. He also said, touch not mine anointed, you know, and do the prophet no harm. Yeah. But I believe God mean that for all of us because we belong to him. And he don't want people bought, but yet he allow it. Many days to see what we are going to do, what we are going to do, because we shouldn't be beholden to stuff and things. So we let go so God can have his way. Okay, you take the stuff, go ahead on, and God bless you. Here, sugar. Because believe it or not, you're going to need that. I won't tell you that, but I'm saying to myself, you believe it or not, in your mind, you're going to need a blessing from God because you're going to need him to forgive you and overlook what you've done. And if he don't overlook it, which most likely he won't, because you're touching the apple of his eye. Oh, yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. And we thank God this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Jerry, can you hear me? Okay, I don't know what happened. Let's see.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before. I see your number twice, so let's do this.
Yeah, the phone had to drop. The devil didn't want me to continue on saying, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. The old Jerry liked to fight. That little thing liked to fight. She got a hot temper. The new Jerry, she's calm and said, oh, okay, baby. That's okay, baby. She even stood there and looked at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, this ain't nothing. Even when my bank account get low, God put my money back in it.
Amen. Yeah, so no need. He's taking care of everything. No need for you to get upset. No need for you to say nothing to nobody because he take care of it all. And he know what we used to be. He know. And he know we wasn't scared. But the thing of it is we trying to please him today and do the things that he can mm-hmm. accept.
Mm-hmm. And she thought she was hurting my feelings by reminding me that you used to be like a Jezebel. And you did this. And I said, you right. I wrote bad checks. You right. Yes, I did that. But I've graduated from that school now. I'm into a new creature in Christ, so I don't have to write bad checks. God give me money when I want it. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for the man. I wouldn't take nothing. I just can't take nothing because God's been there. So when the enemy, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. For my good. I got to stay safe. I got to stay safe. I got to keep following him as he said, come, follow me. Follow me. So, Barbara, I got to stay with this ministry.
All right.
I got to say, I went to the biggest and baddest church when I was growing up. I was at Abyssinia. I was at Mount Eric. I got grown. I got to Bethel. I mean, oh, God. Stop. Just sit down somewhere, people. Please, let's sit down. Stop. You know how you be children. Stop. No, I need to stop. I just need to stop. Stop and be good. And know that the earth and the fullness of it belongs to God. Don't try to handle nothing. Nothing. As Shirley Caesar say, you're next in line for your miracle.
Hallelujah. All right, Jerry,
hallelujah.
I'm going to bring. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to bring one more person in. I'm going to close your mic, but you'll still be able to hear, but I'm going to bring the next person in. All right, God bless you. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you. How are you?
God bless. Holly Faith. Good morning to you. Miss Barbara, Miss Jerry, everybody out there listening this morning, Miss Eagle, this morning, Brother Louis, good morning to you, Brother Frank, and everybody. Another thing. I'm a good guy. Thankful, waking me up this morning. Thankful for life ever spent. Came in my right mind, allowing me to see another day. And I just was tuning in, listening, and that's a little bit of my testimony, God opened my eyes this morning, let me see another day, being able to hear that word this morning, there was some deep stuff that he was, preaching on, and I heard that before about, the king and the cutting of, down here, but ain't nobody never go in depth, and actually, confirm, exactly how everything led up to it, and then, the part about the stripper, so, that just let me know, that stuff been going on thousands of years before us, and it's still continuing today, so. I just thank God for that word and giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I got a testimony. Ordered me some food the other night at the hotel where I was at. I have a couple dollars in the room or whatever. But I really didn't want to, mess with it. And when I ordered the food, I used my debit card. And it was more than what I expected to spend, but I was like, I ain't worried about it. God bless me, with a couple dollars. So, I ain't did too much. So I can spend a little something on it. So got the food or whatever. And the young man came to drop off the food or whatever. And when he came to the door, opened the door, and I At first, I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I ain't about to, get no tip. I done paid all this money and everything. And someone was like, oh, get that man a tip. So then I went back and got a couple dollars, money that I would give him or whatever. I was going to get some change. And before I got to the reception person at the counter at the hotel to give him the change, the Lord said, give him the whole thing. So I gave the young man the whole thing. And in the process of me getting it to him, right before I get it to him, he was like, yeah. I was like, shoot. I was like, you got some change for this? And he was like, nah, I ain't got no change for that. I was like, I was just joking with him. I said, you probably got some change. You probably just ain't got it with you. So I said, you probably got some change in that car. Just joking with him, in a way. And he laughed, I laughed, we walking on up the hallway and everything. And I got to the restroom to go get some change. And like I said, the Lord was like, just get to him, get him the whole thing. So I get to him. And I ain't feel no type of way about getting to him. It excited me to get to him, because he told me, what was going on. He was like, I got a couple of days before I get paid or whatever. He was like, I'm broke. So, that's the Lord using me to bless him, And the Lord turned around and blessing him, I was looking at my account this morning, and I know, what I had on my account. And I looked at it this morning. There were $300 in there. I said, well, Lord, thank you. I thank you for that. So, it just goes to show, you be obedient with God, and bless others, in the time of need, God's going to bless you, in spite of what's going on. So I just want to encourage everybody, if the Lord speaking to you, tell you to do something, be obedient and do it. He's always going to bless you. Get a return. Even if he don't bless you, he might bless you in a different way. So, I just thank God for that. And just wanted to share that with y'all this morning.
Because I was told this, Brother Anthony. When I release something out of my hands, God released something to me. When I give out of my hand, God gives something to me. He loves a cheerful giver. And he's always like he's a farmer in many ways, because he always often talk about planting, seeds growing and harvest and this kind of thing and on his ground. And he always talk like a farmer in a lot of ways. So when we release out of our hands, we should be planting seeds. And because we sat everywhere, and see, you didn't know what the young man was going through. You didn't know what he was going through. And what you gave him could have been exactly what he needed to finish. Oh, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning for giving hard. Sometimes we grapple with something. I've done that before myself. But you should issue. Like Murdoch said, Lord, if this you telling me to give this $1,000, God let a camel walk through the door. Oh, I screamed. I said, that mic is too much. Because we don't give up the money. We don't really want to release the money. But if we'll let go quickly, God will bless us quickly. I'm a living witness. And give unto him in Jesus. A lot of times what I have, it won't cover the stuff I need, no way. But if I plan it, I'll give it back so I can get it. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning for the word of Eric, Brother Anthony calling in. I'm going to mute your mic, Brother Anthony. Brother D was here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And I thank God for each and every caller. We're about out of time, so I really didn't do the roll call. Mike and Kim Hops hit me up this morning saying, amen. God bless y'all over there. And I thank God for each and every caller again and those coming through the podcast and the archives. And I pray that this weekend you have a blessed weekend and that the Lord will add to you. Brother Lewis say, hey, Brother Anthony, So I pray that the Lord add to you this weekend more than you need, so you can share with someone else.
90 seconds.
Plant some seeds somewhere. Don't forget your church. And y'all plant seeds somewhere and be a blessing so that God can bless you back. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. Father, we thank you this morning that you send what each one of us needs.
60 seconds.
We may not all need the same thing, but God, you send what we all need, and we thank you for it this morning. As we depart, bless our going out. Bless our coming in this weekend. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, I speak this weekend your blessings upon your people like never before. I even ask that you would send wisdom to your people this weekend. Lead and guide them in the right path and give them a heart and a mind to follow so that they will continue to be blessed throughout this year. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we're waiting on you. We can't do nothing until you come. And we love you today. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah.
10 seconds.
Fix our hearts. Regulate our minds, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings again of Almighty God upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day.